Swiftwave Radio. Your way.
Hello and welcome to the Relationship Show with Annie, where we talk all things and everything relationship. So without wasting too much time, we'll be jumping right in. Today we'll be talking about divorce and life after. There are so many people, you know, who get married and they find out that marriage is not what they hoped it would be, and you know, there's been abuse and things like that, and you know, they've had to go on that inevitable route of divorce. So today we'll be talking about that. We're talking about, you know, picking up your life after divorce. And to help me with that, I have invited this super amazing, as in she's a superwoman, she's a wonderful, strong woman, and her name is Shayo Alofe. I've invited Shayo to help me today with the topic. And Shayo is a single mom of three children. You know, she's a worshiper, she's an entrepreneur, she's a dealer. She describes herself as a dealer of hope. Every time that trips me, it really trips me. I need to look for a tag for myself too. But you know, she has learned to turn her pain into purpose, and she has learned to, you know, turn a mess into a message. And it's a big privilege, a huge honor to have her here with me to talk about, you know, our journey, to share our story, some of our story, not all, but some of our story. But before I bring her on, I want you to enjoy this number from Tim Godfrey, Nara.
Chukwomame. Lord, we lift you up. Onyomame nare kelem jiribia. You've done so much for me, I cannot tell it all. Nare kelemo. If I had 10,000 tongues, it still won't be enough. Nare kelemo. When you heal, you heal completely. You see, in candle. What shall I render to Jehovah? For he has done so very much. Nara, nara, eh, narikele, narikele mo. Nara, nara, eh, narikele, narikele mo. So we lift you up, Jesus.
We lift you up, Jesus.
Glorify your name. Done so much for me, I cannot tell it all. Yeah.
If I had 10,000 tongues, still wouldn't be enough, Jesus.
Chukuna guamarele. When you hear completely. What
shall I render to Jehovah? For he has done so very much for me.
Welcome back, and now I have with me Shayo. Like I said, Shayo is a single mom of three. She's an entrepreneur. I love the way she describes herself as a dealer of hope. Wow. And you know, it's such, I've followed her for a very, 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 very long time. So I know her journey. I know what she's been through. And today, Shayo, how are you? So I'm just talking, and I just remember that, oh, sorry, I have to introduce you. I have to welcome you and talk to you, really. How are you, Shayo? How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Annie. Thanks for inviting me.
It's a huge privilege. It's a huge privilege to have you on here. I really appreciate you for saying yes. So we won't really be going into details of what led to the divorce. We'll just be talking about maybe some moments shortly before and life after the divorce. So first of all, how long have you been divorced now?
The divorce was finalized January 2017, so mm-hmm. It's nearly 2 years. So by January next year will be 2 years since the official divorce, but I got separated over 2 years ago. So the separation was from June 2016.
Okay. I remember the first time I read your story, as in when you announced that, okay, fine, this was happening in your life, I was like, wow. Of course, because we were talking, we knew each other before then, I was kind of like, wow. Now, wow, because I know you come from a very, very strong and strict Christian background, and I know also now that, you know, you're involved with church and all that. How did that affect anything at all?
That's a great question. And yes, I do come from a very, very strong and strict Christian background. And I am involved with church. And yes, I thought about what the church would say. Mm. But I decided to be true to myself. Decided to find out the truth. What really does the scripture say about for divorce? Because people say all the time, there's quote that scripture that says God hates divorce.
Yeah.
And because of that, the church has held a lot of people in bondage in their marriages. These people are unhappy. Many of them being abused physically, emotionally, psychologically,
even financially. Even financially.
Yeah. But they cannot leave because the church is waving this wand on their head that says God hates divorce. And so, I don't even remember how it happened, but one day I just kept on thinking about it and I said, hang on a minute. let's assume divorce is a sin. Let's know divorce is a sin. I don't believe it is a sin, but let's just assume it is a sin. And knowing that God does not have a hierarchy when it comes to sin. Sin is sin.
Yes, of course.
The person who tells a lie and the person who crosses red light
is sin.
And the person who commits murder and the person who commits incest, they are all sin before God. And not one is higher than the other.
And they have the same one. There's no consequence that is bigger than the other. It's just one same consequence.
Absolutely. So I began to wonder, well, hang on a minute. This same God says that if you come to me and repent of your sins, I will forgive you. I will give you a second chance. And this God is a God of not just one second chance, but many second chances. Right? He will keep giving and keep giving and keep giving. You know, you can imagine David in the Bible. We know this David, oh my God. If you're going to look at what David did, King David, he was the worst sinner. But God said he's my friend. God called him his friend. How? So I began to think about this and realize, wait a minute. If God could forgive King David and call him his friend, if God could forgive the sinner on the cross at the very last minute, and give him eternal life, why wouldn't God forgive me if I file for divorce? Why wouldn't he give me another chance at finding love and happiness again?
You know, sorry to cut you, Shai. Now, talking about sin, you know, one thing I tell people, especially when, you know, it has to do with, it's the sin, even when you have bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart, that is sin as well. So, exactly. So, if you're not far, if you say you don't want to go through the route of divorce, but you are living in unforgiveness and you're harboring bitterness in your heart, is as good as, you know, you're doing the same exact thing. God is still not happy with that as well.
Absolutely. That is so true. You know, so when I realized that, it was an aha moment for me. It was a moment of revelation. I suddenly realized that I had been brainwashed by religion. That is not the God I serve. The God I serve would not hold me back or punish me because I filed for divorce. Because I choose to walk away from a man that was treating me lesser than God intended me to be treated. Because I'm so precious to this God that he actually died for me. And shed his blood and paid the ultimate price for me. Yet, the man that vowed to love me forever and help me fulfill my purpose that this same God created me to fulfill is treating me lesser than the one who created me. How could that be? So, when I got that revelation, and some others, you know, there were three main things that happened to me, but that was the main one. When I got that revelation, I thought, you know what? I don't care who says what. I don't care who tries to keep me in this bondage. This is not their life. This is my life. And I am the one that will face God at the last day. And this God will ask me if I did what he sent me to the world to do. And I knew that staying in an abusive marriage or in the marriage I was in, I wasn't fulfilling my purpose because I was too sad, unhappy, be motivated to do what I was created to do. And you know what, Annie? You know there's no marriage in heaven?
Of course.
All right. So if there's no marriage in heaven, and God wouldn't pat me on the back for staying in an unhappy marriage because I wanted to fulfill some scripture that people misinterpreted, so why should I stay in a marriage that prevents me from doing what God created me to do? So that's good for me. I got those revelations. I was like, okay. Thank you, God. I get it, and I'm out.
Wow. And how long did it take you to go from there to actually now, like, doing it?
It's so funny. I was married for 13 years.
Wow.
And for most of those 13 years, I actually didn't contemplate divorce. I may have mentioned it, you know, like maybe twice in those 13 years to say, you know what, maybe we should go our separate ways. But I was never serious about it.
Mm.
Until, you know, something happened that made me see that, you know, staying in an abusive marriage, I was actually destroying the lives of my children.
Mm.
I was actually creating future abusers of victims.
Mm.
And I think that God was going to ask me. Mm. Because those children, I was made a steward for them. Mm. They are actually God's. So I need to give account to him of what I did with the children he gave me.
Mm.
So when that thing happened, that made me decide that, you know what, we're better off outside of this situation. I just came to that decision one day. And the day I got the realization and my eyes opened was the day I said to my ex-husband, it's over. Mm. Was the same day. Mm.
Mm.
But it took me 13 years to get to that point.
Yeah. Talking about your children, you said something that because of the nature, you were in an abusive marriage, and you felt that if you stayed on, you would raise abusers or victims of abuse. As in, for the children, like, living life after that, you know, a lot of people are scared of, you know, being divorced. Even if they're in, you know, an abusive situation, they are really scared of going out because they go, it's for my children. I want, you know, I want a balanced family. I want a balanced life for my kids and all that. But you raised a valid point saying that, you know, the more you stayed on, the more you were raising abusers and or victims of abuse. How have the kids been? How has it been? You know, even being a single parent for them, is there that, you know, unbalance or do you understand what I'm saying? Like, they don't have that. Yeah. How has it been? How's it been with them?
Awesome. That's great. Before I answer that question, let me just touch on something.
Okay.
And this is very common in the African culture.
Mm.
You know, we hear people say things like, oh, my parents were married for 58 years.
Okay.
Or they're celebrating their 70th wedding anniversary.
Okay.
Or, you know, my parents stayed. You know, every marriage has issues. But this woman, she stuck through it all and stayed.
Mm.
But what we do not say is that for 45 years out of those 57 years, that woman was miserable.
Mm.
62 years of those 70 years, that woman was sad. She was unhappy. She was lonely.
Mm.
And our mother stuck through it all because the culture taught her to do it.
Mm.
But what we didn't realize is that because our mother stayed, the race, the men we're marrying now, who become the abusers, right?
Mm.
Because they stayed, our mother stayed in that environment, and children do not do what you say.
They do what you do.
Yeah. Mm. So it doesn't matter what you say to the children. It doesn't matter how you raise the boys to say you never hit a woman. He's just going to look at you and say, oh, but that hits you.
Mm-hmm.
But being an African, that child wouldn't dare speak up because we were raised to speak back, right?
Yeah, sure.
But that child is internalizing everything. So it's not what you're saying. It's what the child is seeing.
And to add to that, go on.
Yeah, you tell your girl, you know, a man needs to love you. Choose a man who loves you and treats you right and can provide for you. Mm. And that girl is confused.
Mm.
And she's thinking,
What does that actually mean?
What does that mean? Because that is not what I'm saying here.
Mm.
And so that girl grows up. It's time for her to choose. And she doesn't understand what true love means.
Mm.
She's saying, you know, what I see at home, that's probably what it is. Maybe every man is like that after all.
Mm.
And so she dates a guy who talks down at her.
Mm.
She dates a guy who actually hits her.
Mm.
You know, because she's seen her mom being hit before. You know, that's normal.
Mm.
That's what happened to us.
Mm.
So, our mother stayed, them staying, the raised perpetrators.
Mm.
That we are now marrying.
Mm.
They stayed, they raised future victims that we are.
Mm.
So when I realized that, I thought, you know what? This has to stop at some point.
Mm.
Because, you know, a lot of us Africans, we are quick to label something generational curse.
Mm.
Many of them are not generational curses. Many of them are cycles that we chose not to break.
Mm, wow.
And I decided that this is going to stop with me.
Mm.
I will not allow this cycle go to the next generation.
Mm.
So I took a stand.
Mm.
Now, I'm not saying that, you know, my ex's family or parents, you know, that happened, or even in mine, it didn't happen. Abuse didn't happen in my family or even in my ex, as far as I'm aware. I'm not saying that. However, this is something that is general and common in the African community.
Mm.
So now going to your question that how has it been in a single parent household with my children? Has there been any imbalance? You know what? I say something, you know, a lot of people say, oh, children need their fathers.
Yeah.
I don't agree 100%.
Okay.
Children need a male role model.
Mm.
If that father is not capable of raising a wholesome child, the child is better off not being in that man's life.
Mm.
That is the truth. That is not what the culture teaches us, but that is the truth. Because what is the point of putting a child in the life of a man who doesn't know how best to raise a child, who has not learned discipline, who has not learned self-control? What is it going to train up this child as? Right? So the children don't necessarily need their father. They just need an older adult male role model that will stand up and teach the male traits to the children, that will show the girl how to be treated by a man, that will show the boy how to be a man. And so in my household, my children see that, okay, because I said to my ex-husband when I was filing for divorce, I said, I'm not one of those girls that will prevent you from seeing your children and use that against you. I don't do that. I don't believe in it. You are their father, and I believe you have a right, you know, to be a part of their life. Now, if they choose not to, that is
their choice.
That is their choice. But until they get to the point where they can choose, I will not prevent you from seeing them. And so their father sees them when he chooses to see them. Okay. So, however, as far as my children, their well-being, their mental well-being, my children are happier now than they've ever been.
Wow.
I have a great relationship. It's unbelievable. People tell me that myself and my elder, 14, we are so close. We act like twins. We know, she knows everything about me. We talk. We have a great relationship. You know, I remember after I filed for divorce, one day I was thinking, my goodness, my kids are this much fun. I mean, I could have this much fun with my children.
Because you yourself, you had a clear head at that point.
Exactly. Exactly. My head was clear. The burden, the weight of the world was lifted off my shoulders. I could think clearly. I could love my children for who they were, which I couldn't do before. So, my children are happier. They're doing well academically, you know, in sports, in music, every area of their life. These kids are balanced. They're happier. They're better off since the divorce.
Wow. Thank you. Now, I want to ask one last question, as in, what is that one thing that helped you move on? What is that one thing that, you know, after, and you had made up your mind before you left, you knew this was what you wanted to do. But I'm sure, I don't know, but I know that there's a part of you that would still grieve, because it was the end of like 13 years of your life. And what was that thing that, you know, helped you just, you know, pick up yourself and then move on with life?
Because I knew God did not create me for sadness or unhappiness.
Wow.
God did not create me for that kind of life I was living. You see, in 2016, January of 2016, I remember it was beginning of the year, and I, you know, as we all do, looking out, you know, towards the year and thinking, you know, what's going to happen to me this year, what's my plan and all of that. And I remember thinking, because it was just before that, I think it was late 2015, that I came across Gloria Copeland's book, where she talked about the number of years a Christian should live. You know, I grew up thinking the number of our years was 70 years, right? A lot of people thought it was 70. But Gloria Copeland was able to prove in that book that it's actually 120.
Okay.
King David said 70 because that was his choice, and God honored his choice. Now, I remember 2016, beginning of 2016, and thinking, oh, okay, so if I'm going to live 120 years, and at that time I was in my late 30s, so I still had like 80-something years to live. I thought, so am I going to be this unhappy for the next 80-something years of my life? at what point is this going to change?
Mm.
And I remember just speaking quietly to God beginning of, you know, January 2016. I said, God, I don't know how you're going to do it, but this needs fixing. I'm not going to be unhappy for the rest of my days.
Mm.
This has to go. It has to be fixed somehow.
Mm.
Right? That was January 2016. It was June of 2016 that we separated.
Mm.
And so, what made me, you know, what kept me going? It was knowing that I was created for more.
Mm.
The Bible says that God wants us to be happy and prosper and be in good health, so even as our soul prospers. I know that God's intention for me was to thrive, live in abundance, and be happy. And I knew that staying in that marriage wasn't giving me that. And so I wasn't even fulfilling what God wanted me to fulfill. And so I had to step out of that and step into my purpose and do what God created me to do. That was my push. That was what made me decide to go. And I knew that I deserve happiness. I deserve love. I deserve to be treated like the queen, the princess that I am.
Amen.
The man I chose, unfortunately, didn't know how to do that to me. And so I have a right to finding that love and happiness again. And so I had to step up and hope and wait and pray and get it right the next time.
Wow.
So that was that was.
So you're open to love now. You're open to doing it all over again, of course.
Absolutely,
differently.
100%.
Wow, that's good. You've actually brought a lot of things that I'm sure I'm going to have you back on, because there's still a lot of things that we still need to talk about. 20 minutes is not enough to really delve into it and really tear it apart. But I'm happy, you know, when you talk about your story, when you share your story, it's very, very inspiring, really, to see. Because you see a lot of people, especially those who are in an abusive relationship, they are really, really scared because of, you know, what people will say, which you've talked about, what people will say, what will my family say, what will the church say, or the Bible says that, you know, don't do this, don't divorce, don't do this, and, you know, they are held down, and some people lose their lives in the process. Some are miserable for the rest of their lives, and like you said, which is a new spin on, yes, and it's a new way of looking at it as well, that, you know, you begin to raise, what's it called, abusers and, you know, victims as well, if you don't really take a stand and make a decision. Is this, even our marriage should honor God. Like, I was talking about it with someone, and I said, you know, we're talking about divorce, and I said, see, if the Bible says if it is your eye that causes you to sin, pluck it out. If it is your hand, cut it off. And of course, it's not literally saying, you know, our body parts. It's actually saying anything at all. Marriage is not a criteria to enter into heaven, you know.
That's right.
And because it is not a criteria, if that is one thing that is holding you back from, like you said, fulfilling your destiny, or, you know, living a life that he has called you to live, or is it holding you down in sin? Like we just touched on unforgiveness and bitterness. You know, if that is what is happening, then of course you have reasons to say, God, as much as I would like to stay on, I cannot because of, you know, X, Y, Z. I think it was 2-3 weeks ago on the show, we talked about infidelity. And there was this story. It was a very touching story. I think they just got married. I can't remember, maybe a year or 2 years. And they've been having issues conceiving. I think the wife had a miscarriage or so. The guy got into an affair with someone else. I think the other person had a baby for the husband, and now the husband just goes to the mistress's house. Now the question we asked was, are you now going to tell the wife to stay put in that marriage? That it's a difficult place to be. People in the church, and that we talked about it, that people who advise, you know, people on their relationships, especially in the church, you know, we have to be careful how we go about it. Because in that case, would you tell that person, sit there, and I believe God restores. I believe God is a God of restoration. But at the same time, you shouldn't, you know, use the scripture to hold her on. If she doesn't have the grace to stay on, because that's really key as well. If you don't have the grace, or if you don't have that leading, that stay on, God is willing to do restoring work in the partner or in your marriage, then fine. But if you feel that God is releasing you out of the marriage, then, you know, still go. I'm not for stay. I'm not for go. I'm just for go. Do whatever it is, you know, God feels is right for you or is right for your marriage. And once it's there, like you've said, once it's in the whole process, it's going to make life after all of that. It's going to sort it out for you. It's going to make the transition easy. It's going to give you a life afterwards as well. Wow.
That's right.
Wow, wow, wow. Thank you so much, Chayo. Thank you so, so much.
You're most
welcome. I really appreciate you. I really appreciate you coming. And like I said, we'll definitely have you back for more. There's so many things that, you know, you've said that we need to still sit and talk about as well. So thank you so much. Okay. So just hold on for a bit and then we go on a short break. See ya.
The grass is greener on the other side. That's what I thought before I took the ride. I burned my bridges so I'd never look back. But if I had known the life I was searching for was looking me right in the eye, oh. If I had known the life I was searching for was already my own. Water the ground. That's what I found when I took the ride. I realized the mountain I've been climbing is nothing but sand, yo. I didn't know I already had the answers. No, I didn't know. But if I had known the life I was searching for was looking me right in the eye, oh. If I had known the life I was searching for was already my own. Yeah.
Welcome back. So before we call it a night, I just want to share a few things. When it comes to marriage, I'd say one size doesn't fit all. You know, when Chaya was sharing her story, one thing she kept saying was, you know, how she prayed. You know, she even said that in January of 2016, she prayed, and because she knew that, you know, life couldn't continue that way. And then she didn't make her decision until June, when she knew for certain that this was, you know, the way God was leading her. That was, she felt convinced that that was the way, you know, God was leading her to. And that's one thing I really want to, you know, encourage you to do, no matter where you are in your relationship, if you are, especially if you're at that point where you want to make a decision of whether to leave or whether to stay. What is important is that, you know, you ask God, you get to that point where you get his own answer for you. Because there are some people who would say, yes, stay on. And there are some times that God will actually want you to stay on. You might probably want to do maybe a restorative work in your heart, in your partner's heart, or even in your marriage. He might want to do his own, he would have his plan and purpose for telling you to stay on. And if he tells you to leave, he might have his plan and purpose for telling you to leave as well. So what is important, and that's one thing I really want, you know, everyone to take away from Shia's story. Every step of the way, she sought God, she searched scriptures, she asked God, and then she made a decision. And that's what, you know, I want you to have at the back of your mind. And even, I think because she knew that, and that from even what she said, it made life after the whole divorce, it made it even easier for her, because she knew that, see, this wasn't just a decision I took. This was a God decision that, you know, she took, and she knew that God was with her in it. Wow, it was an interesting topic today, and I'm sure we're going to have Shia back, because I really want us to talk about so many things that she brought up today. And I really, really learned a lot myself. There's been a shift in perspective for me. That thing that she said about raising abusers and raising future victims is like very, very eye-opening for me. So if you have any questions, you can send me a DM, or you can send me an email at any@anystory.com or anytorbason@gmail.com, or you could send me a DM as well on Instagram @theanystory. And please follow us on social media on Swift Wave Radio. Now let me leave you with this quote from Shannon Alder: forget what hurt you, but never forget what it taught you. So let's do this again next week. Good night and God bless.
Emi mo won oju mi ti ri, mo mo won eti mi ti gbo. Mo mo won oju mi ti ri, mo mo won eti mi ti gbo. Lọgọ to gbọ iro ayọrẹ o olugbala aye mi leto. Lọgọ to gbọ iro ayọrẹ o olugbala aye mi leto. Mo mo won aye ma ti wi, mo mo won eyan ma ti so. Won ti pe wa ni agonri, boya won ti pe o lo losiri. Ṣugbọn lọgọ to de o olugbala laye mi leto. Ṣugbọn lọgọ to de yi o olugbala aye leto. Aye to ti daru tele tele o lọgọ ti o de. Ọrọ teniyan ti fi ṣalufani re lọgọ ti o de. Ọrọ ti ko dara ti a ti sọ si ọ lọgọ ti o de. Orukọ ti ki ṣe ti ata ti pe ọ lọgọ ti o de. Ani lọgọ ti o de o olugbala aye eleto. Lọgọ ti o de o olugbala aye eleto. Lọgọ ti Jesu de olugbala laye eleto. Ko soruko taye o le pe ni, won ma pe ni lagan lona gbogbo. Bo ba lowo lowo agan ni, bo ba bi mo o agan ni bo ba te gba ko dagba agan lo je sugbon logan ti o de so pe logan ti o de ani logan ti o de lasakase logan ti o de ah logan ti o de olugbala laye eleto logan ti o de olugbala laye eleto instantly lo je be bo se nde bayi won de yi oruko pada logan ti o de eh
logan ti o de
eni ta pe lagan e ma so wi pe
logan ti o de
awon ta ti foruko aburu pe ni le won yi
logan ti o de
ani logan ti o de olugbala
laye leto
aye mi leto logan ti o de olugbala
laye mi leto
ani e logan ti o de olugbala
laye mi leto
ani logan ti o de o aseda
laye mi leto
ani logan ti o de o olorun o
laye mi leto
irawo owura omo meri yo sinu oro mi
laye mi leto
alagbara ni silo lo ba ranti mi si rere
laye mi leto
enu mi wa kun fun erin o gbogbo Jesus, for all that you are.
Swift Wave Radio. Your way.